Welcome to episode 473 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimpcast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes prostitutes.
Permaculture PIMP with Soulful Grace in the Pimpcast, where we find a place.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we are Thursday, man, already, but we're here. Oh, my goodness, has this been a weird, crazy week? I'll come to that in a minute. This episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. TPC, Tango Papa Charlie, will get you 5% off. It's going to be in Harmony, North Carolina, if you want to be there live. And if you want to be there online, folks, get your tickets, because you can see it virtually. Barbara O'Neill is going to be our headliner, but as William said before, every person we're bringing in here could easily headline this show. Yeah. Also, Nessus Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Use this stuff every single night. And, you know, Nessa was on here a while ago talking about the endocannabinoid system and how doctors know absolutely nothing about it. Doesn't mean you got to go out there and do a little puff, puff, give like your local Hooter Bandits. But it does mean that you could go out there and get yourself squared away with some of Nessa's hemp. CBDA is the best you can get out there. How you doing, son?
Well, real quick on that CBD note, I did a consultation this past weekend for a mutual friend of ours, but he showed me a Nessa's hemp product that's like this powder that you can sprinkle directly onto your food. It's like a anti-Big C, obviously being careful for YouTube, but anti-Big C, like spice that you can put on it. But it had like black seed, had the hemp on there. It had pumpkin seeds. It had a bunch of different things. But he uses it as like a seasoning, but you can just sprinkle it on your food. And it had apricot seeds on there too.
Know what that's good for also. Or you can get the apricot seeds like I do from Richardson Nutrition Company.
They teamed up with them.
Yeah, okay. I think we got a promo code for that. And if it is, it's probably PERMA or something like that. So yeah, Richardson Nutrition is where we go to get all of our apricot seeds. And I try to make sure I put them in my salad every single day. Want to give a quick shout out to those in the chat right now. Nancy, JC is my king. He's mine too. Oh, thank you for the kind words. Yesterday with George Hobbs was awesome. Yeah, and Andy, of course, down in here. Who else we got? Travis the Vet. Yeah, everybody in the house, hit that thumbs up. Yeah, I kind of figured that thing with George was going to be a little bit controversial. I had no idea that so many people were going to reach out and tell me how much they thoroughly enjoyed it. So, yeah, we'll definitely have to have him back. You know, I was wondering how well that would go over where my man's got a podcast where, it's called The Fact Hunter. And then, of course, he has another one called Flat Earth Files. And then he wrote this book, shooting a massive hole in dispensationalism. And I was wondering, talking about those three things, how this was going to go over. But it went over. I mean, obviously, you're going to have some people that don't want to examine the information and then be upset about what they're coming out with. But, that's most people. I mean, you examine the evidence before you poo-poo it. Everything you've been taught, for the most part, has been a manufactured lie. And that's what George is exceptionally good at. So, Son, do you ever check out his podcast, The Fact Hunter?
No, I haven't, but I'm definitely going to check that out. Those three categories are definitely points of interest. And now I will say, as far as like the flat earth stuff, I'm only going to dig so far. That's going to be something I only dig so far into. It's like, for me, once I found out like, oh, they're lying about the shape of the earth, then I'm like the end of the conclusion of it for me was okay, but the chickens still need to be fed at the end of the day. Like there's only so far I'm going to go with the flat earth stuff, but everything else. So yeah, I'm down for it.
No, I totally get it. I think what it does, when you look at how many people have come to Christ as a result of realizing that this world wasn't just some random mess.
That's a good point.
I think it's especially when you, good night, when you have some experiences with some of these folks, that they realize that they're not just a blip on the screen, that, you know, that there is a lot more to this reality than we've been told. And everything, it was just like that guy told Reagan, this guy, director of the CIA, I want to say William Colby. He said, "We will know our disinformation plan is complete when everything the American people believe is false." And I'm loosely quoting it there, but that's essentially what it is. And that's what George is. I mean, he brings the receipts, y'all. So definitely go over there, check out his podcast, and you definitely want to get his book as well. All right. So today was definitely one of those days where I did something that was, I never thought would ever be on my bucket list. Had a visit with a mobile phlebotomist.
Oh, a mobile one.
A mobile phlebotomist. Yeah. And he hands out these cards that have like Dracula teeth on them and stuff like that. And I'm like, I told your mom to come with me because I'm like, dude, I don't know about all this, man. Why? I mean, there ain't no telling what kind of whack job you might get hooked up with.
You said he was mobile.
Yeah, he was mobile, but I met him somewhere.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I met him somewhere and I told your mom, she was laughing. When I told her yesterday, I said, hey, I think you ought to go with me here, man. There ain't no telling, man. This guy could be a total lunatic, man. He find my body in the weeds or in the dumpster or something. I mean, And so people are probably asking, well, why on earth did you need to go to a mobile phlebotomist? Okay, folks, I'm going to take you back a couple of programs ago that William and I did with Morley Robbins. Okay. If you go through the root cause protocol, and William can vouch for this. We actually had my blood test results all ready to put on the screen. But Morley thought, you know, if we get around to it, we'll go ahead and do it. But why don't we bring those results up when we bring up the final results? Because I'm following to the letter his program. And at least to the extent that I can, as best as I will guarantee you that nobody has ever followed his protocol more strictly than I have. So anyway, part of it is, believe it or not, I'm going to make this make sense here in a minute. Part of it is every 3 months or so, you got to go give blood. Now, you can go to the Red Cross if you want to. You can go wherever they take blood, but you got to drop a pint. You got to get rid of it in most cases. Here's why. The ferritin levels of my blood, where it should be in a perfect world, is 20. Ferritin is the amount of iron in your blood, okay? Mine was 205. Yeah, 205.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now when I talked to the phlebotomist, he said most people, when they check their, you know, we had a great conversation. Once I realized he wasn't some lunatic, I'm thinking, man, what kind of guy drives around taking people's blood? Turns out he was a former soldier too, and we just hit it off great. Your mom and him, I doggone it, I had his cards. I was going to tell everybody about it. Anybody, if you need to get a hold of this guy, just email me and, you know, we'll get you squared away. Billy@permapastorsfarm.com. Anyway, the ferritin, the fastest way, the best way to unload the iron in your blood is giving blood. So you can knock out two birds with one stone. You can give blood, maybe help somebody out down the road, and at the same time, it drops yours a considerable amount. I mean, it can be anywhere depending on how much is in your blood. It can be 20 to 40 nanograms per milliliter, which is significant. So you can give blood every 8 weeks, but Morley recommends that you do it every quarter. Now, here's why women, and Morley told me this before, and I had no idea. The reason why women typically outlive men, there's a couple of reasons, but one of them is, well, once a month, a woman loses a lot of blood, okay? Men don't. That's one reason. But then when a woman hits menopause or something like that, or has a hysterectomy or something like that, you should be giving blood as often as a man. And he told me that people who give blood live longer, and it's not just some low number according to the phlebotomist. They live longer than people that don't. Morley left it right there. Now, I don't think we caught that. We didn't catch that in the interview. No. But I've had some of the conversations with him privately that this is one of the things that he taught me. So I asked the phlebotomist. I said, hey, I was told that people that give blood live longer. Is that? He finished the sentence. He said, on average, as I understand, he said, what we're taught, they live about 7 years longer. And I'm like, why is not everybody being told this? That if you give blood, you can offload the ferritin, the amounts of ferritin, and it's crazier. And I'm going to come to that here in a minute, folks. And this is why everybody who has any kind of issue out there needs to call up Morley Robbins. If you didn't stick out the program, you didn't hear the part where he doxed himself.
Yeah.
He has email, but he also has a phone number. Michelle, if you're listening, can you put this phone number in the chat or anybody else? I can't do it while I'm here, but maybe William, you can. Morley Robbins, his number is 847-922-8061. Blow his phone up.
8061?
Yeah, 847-922-8061.
Okay.
He is asking people to blow his phone up because that is how passionate he is. My man Raul's in the house. Yeah, Raul, Fermental. Yeah. So anyway, everybody, if you have a family member with issues, you have a, I don't care if it's a autoimmune disorder you're trying to get over, whatever the case is, blow the man's phone up. It'll blow your mind because he, even though he is world famous, he answers the phone. And if he doesn't, I promise you, William, did he answer the phone when your wife called?
All three times.
Yes.
Yeah.
I called him, two times I think he didn't answer the phone and he got back with me immediately. Folks, the biggest ways the needles have been moved in my life has not been from MDs. It's been from autodidacts, self-taught people. My buddy EJ texted me saying, man, he thoroughly enjoyed the thing with Morley. Folks, we're going to get him back on because I feel like I did a massive disservice when he was on here because I should have put his contact information out first. And I should have, people like Dr. Brian Artis and a number of others go to Morley. They go to him regarding this stuff. He is a walking encyclopedia. In fact, the phlebotomist, he knew of him. He said, dude, the guy is a flipping genius. I asked him about Morley Robbins and he knew about him. And he's like, yeah, the guy is a walking genius. He can pull out studies from X. Anyway, there's a reason why, you know, a number of very well-known doctors out there do not want to debate him. I won't name the names, but I have done videos with them here on this show. And anyway, I've spent all this time to talk about why I went to a mobile phlebotomist. Well, number one, there's an autoimmune issue I'm dealing with, and I want to get better. He also realized that if you want to know the bottom line of Morley's work, it comes down to copper. Everybody in the mainstream is telling you copper is bad. He is telling you copper is good. Okay, go and look at the work of Pat Colby. Morley cited me back to her work. We have her books. We have all of them. Michelle has them all. Pat Colby's books. What does Pat Colby say regarding every single animal out there? Parasites and disease persist only when copper is not present. That's exactly what we do on our animals. Now, think about this. And Dr. Joel Wallach said this before. He's a naturopath and he's also a veterinarian. He said, if we treated our farm animals the same way the healthcare that we do for farm animals that we do on humans, your ground beef would be $200 a pound. How do we do it in animals, y'all? Everybody else knows it out there. We do it with minerals. We do it with natural things, okay? In some cases, the reason why you got a serious problem out there has everything to do. Jane's asking, what's Morley's book? It's called Cure Your Fatigue. And Cure Your Fatigue. If you put his name in one of the book finding websites, I'm pretty sure it'll pop up. But anyway, yeah, because we don't regulate copper the way we should and we're not getting good varieties of it, folks, most of what he's telling you is free. Yeah. You might have to go out there and buy a few things like, for example, beef liver. I got a freeze dryer, so I'm making my own beef liver capsules. Lamb liver. I mean, that is a high source of copper out there. You watch any dog in the wild when they tear away, destroy a wildebeest. What does the alpha dog eat, son?
Liver. Every all time. The organs too. Not just the, yeah. I mean, they do. I think they go for the liver first, but they eat like the total of all the organs first, way before they ever get into any of the meat and stuff like that. Like they definitely ain't going for backstraps first. That's definitely not what they're doing.
that's exactly, I mean, that's what we eat. But back in the day, your great grandparents, good night, man. They loved liver and everything. I think intuitively they knew it was very, very good for them. Anyway, go to Morley's rootcauseprotocol.com, I think. Go there. Most of what he has is free or very inexpensive. And like I said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm doing this protocol. So that's exactly why I met with a phlebotomist today to go ahead and see about giving blood. Plus, I wanted to ask him some of this stuff. And yeah, he said on average, what he was taught was that they live 7 years longer. Is there a reason why they're not telling everybody to give blood for longevity? Because almost every single human being walking around right now is massively heavy on iron. That's why he says, throw away your multivitamins. All these things you can find at his website. Folks, I'm spending so much time on this because I love you and I care about you that much and I care about your health. I'm trying, like I said before, I'm trying to find the best protocol I know to put together to keep us in the best health when all these things are falling awry. I'll cover more of this in the main topic.
Well, hey, I got a question on that real quick. Would it be safe to say that Dr. Cruz's protocol, because there's a lot of people who are here and that are familiar with the Dr. Cruz protocol or doing it themselves. Is it accurate to say that that protocol does not work nearly as well missing copper?
I can't say, but Morley would say yes. I can't say, but I did ask Morley that proper. But see, here's the cool thing, son. Just like we did with the orchards out there, what do? We cut and pasted 10 different people to come up with an orchard plan that wasn't even original to us. It was basically, well, the only thing that was original was taking at least 10 different people of what they applied, whether Stefan Subkowiak, Jeff Lawton, Mark Shepard, it didn't matter. Taking the very best of all those guys and gals, putting that into one system. And that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm like, there is no reason why you couldn't do Dr. Cruz's protocol overlaid with Morley's protocol. There's no reason you couldn't do that. And in fact, Morley would make the case that with his protocol, because copper unlocks everything. Like I said, I'll cover more of that in the main topic here. I'll just go through some of the other farm news real quick. Basically getting rain every single day. I know the western side of the states here in Canada wish they had the same thing. I do wonder how they claim that we're getting weather from Canada when the dominant weather, and folks, go to any AI engine and ask them, where is the dominant wind blowing across the United States of Amnesia? Ask them. What are they going to tell you? Southwest to northeast. So tell me how fires up in Ontario are making it down to Florida. Anybody want to answer that?
Well, but they'll say it's upper atmosphere currents that are bringing it down to Florida. Check those patterns. They still don't add up.
Yeah, none of it adds up. They're sitting here dropping junk from the sky. And this is exactly why I'm talking about Morley and talking about Dr. Cruz and talking about we have got to find ways to chelate this junk out of us in a big way. All right, so some other things real quick. The people that have been blowing me up about bone sauce. Well, we had a little bit of clear weather and I had some dry wood, so I made some bone sauce. Hopefully, I'll have more on the website tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I will. We got comfort, y'all. You need to be planting that stuff. And then when it comes up, I mean, sell it. Do whatever you got to do. You know, it's easy to propagate. You can do it over and over again. Also, we got pollinators so bad that the hummingbird feeders we have out front are being wiped out by the bees. I ain't never seen nothing like this. I mean, the hummingbirds are basically fighting with the bees, the bumblebees, to get after that sugar water. And I'm like, I have never seen that before. But ever since we put that thing in the ground, good night, man. It's been crazy. And then finally, of course, we have our sheep up on the side of the mountain pruning the orchard up the mountain. So the sheep are doing their thing. Everybody's loving it. And finally, before I pass it off to you, folks, if anybody out there is thinking we're ever going to see any justice, just go back and watch that thing with Fauci yesterday. They're asking this dude, what color is the carpet? And he's taking the Fifth Amendment. This is a humiliation. I think this is my personal opinion. I think what you're seeing here is a humiliation ritual done in all of our faces. In fact, I dare say everything we're seeing right now is one giant. That dude has murdered more people than smallpox. He really has. And he's walking around free. I just can't believe. I got to be careful how I say this. I just don't understand how certain people are walking around still drawing breath. Because I know certain people that if their children were murdered, they wouldn't even think about the consequences. They wouldn't even think about them. I don't even understand how this guy's walking around and the other people along with him still drawing breath. Anyway, he gets in there, pleads the fifth on everything. And still, and of course, he was right there in cahoots with Trump. It was they kept him on. Everybody wants to forget about that.
Yeah, he said, just so everybody remembers, Trump said the vaccine is my blood. He was really down for the vaccine. So don't forget though that tweet that he sent out.
Yeah. Yeah. So here we are, like Big Snarfy says, 100% no consequences on the we're not gonna see any. Folks, this is rubbing our nose in it. That's exactly what it is. And it's like what Michael Yon calls a dog king when it comes to our president. Where back in the day, the Romans, just to humiliate the subjugated population, they would take a dog, put him in purple, put a crown on his head, and put him on a throne and say, this is who's running things around here. And he takes orders from us. That's exactly what I think we've had going for the last, probably every administration to one extent or another since Kennedy was murdered. So, 111 times.
He pled the fifth 111 times, apparently.
They asked him, your mom and I were listening to it as we were driving. It was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What color is the carpet? I plead the fifth. Are you kidding me? Anyway, son, let me kick it over to you. Where have you been all these last couple of weeks?
I went to KSL, and then after that, I did like a consultation tour through Kentucky. And then I hit up Southeast and West Missouri, really. Did a consultation for a guy, and I'm not going to say his name, because he wanted me to relay to you that he tried one of the urea therapy methods for poison ivy. He got it all over his face and his arms, and he did the method with the paper towel, and then you apply the paper towel, and then he said in a couple minutes or 30 minutes or so that the smell went away and everything. But he had a drastic, like a very, very, I guess the healing from poison ivy. He's always had bad reactions to poison ivy, and he's able to heal from it way faster doing the urea therapy. Supposedly, ask your medical professional for this and everything else we've said in this podcast so far. There you go, YouTube. But yeah, that was pretty cool. So I did a consultation for him. He's awesome. I can't really say his name because of the urea therapy part. But I did consultations all over, did the KSL. KSL was cool. I think there's a, and I'm also doing Midwest preparedness here coming up before too long too. But I think there's so far been like a, and you've noticed this as well, like a lull in homesteading festivals, preparedness festivals, things like that. And I've even hit up some friends, paranormal festivals as well, like not paranormal, but like cryptid hunting festivals as well. There seems to have been a lull in all that. People are not going out and attending as many festivals as they did before. That's for sure. Cause I remember we put on Back to the Land Festival when we had like 14,000 subscribers, and it was a packed festival for a very last minute type festival as well. But I don't think you're able to do that anymore. So if anybody was looking to get into the festival business, you might have to be pretty creative on how you go about it and stuff like that. Like the type of festival it might be, how you're going to fund it, things like that. How are you going to get people there? You're going to have to go the creative route for sure. Now, as far as the weather here, it's finally hit, you know, Texas heat now. We had like 98 degree days past couple of days. So there's that. Other than that, just catching up, I'm going to go and see about getting a new phone tomorrow. Because I, like when I called you today, Dad, I had to unblock you before I could call you. So it's stuff like that. Yeah. People ended up blocked, like, especially whenever I go to call somebody, that's when I notice. Jason, while I was in Kentucky, I had to unblock his number to call him. And that was after having like texted him a few times, letting him know I'm there and all that type of stuff. So I'm gonna see about a new phone tomorrow. I might go the above phone route if that's possible. I gotta see what's possible tomorrow, and that's what I'm gonna do tomorrow. So hopefully the phone issues kind of go away. But other than that, just kind of catching up. Some of you guys might be wondering about this shirt. It says I'm in my Bandit era. My daughter loves Bluey. Not even the show. She loves the characters of Bluey. So anytime she sees characters like the Bluey characters on anything, she loses her mind. And I saw this at Walmart and was thinking, oh, June's gonna love this shirt. And I've worn it a few times, like just this week, because she keeps asking for me to put on my Bluey shirt. So there's that. That's why I'm wearing a grown man wearing a Bluey shirt, which, yeah, that's what's going on here. Other than that, just kind of catching up, trying to, for those of you guys that don't know, we're having another baby. Emily is going through, I guess, morning sickness and stuff like that. The reason she's called Morley three times is trying to figure out, like, what she should be taking, what protocol she should be following while being pregnant and everything. Because, I mean, full disclosure, Emily was pregnant earlier this year and ended up being a miscarriage. And I think part of that was probably, even though we were doing what we knew best to do at the time, it was still lacking something. So this time we're on a proper protocol and things like that. And to be honest, his protocol is cheaper than the high end prenatal protocol of that's suggested by a lot of these like OBGYN podcasters and things like that, or even like homeschool moms. Like, yeah, his is, I think, quite a bit cheaper than all those. So, yeah, that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, man, this is a crazy world for sure, man. Things are just getting crazier and crazier out there. It looks like this war's ramping up. Trump told, I can't remember who, for all of you people out there with kids that are draft age, I mean, what is it, 26 to 30? I can't remember. 18 to 26. I can't remember what the number is exactly. Folks, you better be reaching out. I thought it was 28. Okay, whatever the case may be, I don't care. I would go to jail. I would go to jail before you put me in an unjust war. And that's exactly what they're setting up here. When Trump is over here asking them to see about a draft, folks, I know this is a permaculture show, but, you know, if I'm going to farm, I kind of need an earth. You dig? I need an earth. One that's intact. One that doesn't have, you know, yeah, we know how to clean up nuclear waste, but I would rather not have it on my broccoli. You dig? All right, y'all, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. You know me, folks, when I do this show, I'm G'd up from the feet up, and I mean grounded, and I mean right now. Yeah, I got my Redemption Shield mat down here, and it's going out to an independent ground. If you haven't heard me say it before, folks, do not plug it into your wall. Just trust me on that. I guarantee the electricity in your house is very, very dirty. So it needs to go to an independent ground and take it out the window like I got right here. I don't care what it looks like. Got to be protected, especially when you're around all of this podcasting equipment right now. It's especially important that I'm grounded. Even folks, I mean, if you're just sitting there, let's say you watch TV or messing around, whatever the case may be, do it while grounded. You're going to be thankful you did. All right. Soil Saviors. If you need some of that, if you don't know how to make this awesome ball and compost, check out the link down below, Soil Saviors, and, you know, it'll get you off and running. All right. So some of the good news here. Collagen supplements may boost muscle mass and strength, studies find. Okay, no duh. I know a lot of people are saying that. But this is exactly why your mom and I drink bone broth every single day. In fact, when I do bone broth, it takes 3 days for me to do it the way I do. And make sure I learn this little trick. This is part of why I wanted to cover this. Learn this little trick from pharmacist Ben Fuchs, awesome compounding pharmacist. That if you can stick some apple cider vinegar into that water, I use a crock pot to do mine. If you can put some apple cider vinegar in there, it will draw even more of whatever's in those bones out and put it in an aqueous form in a really, really awesome way. So when I'm doing chickens, no matter what the animal is, it's going 3 days. I'll tell you why. I'll go in there with a pair of tongs, grab a hold of them bones, and I'll break them right there in the pot. And then when I strain everything, you know, I'll get all those bones out, but I'm getting everything out of there, y'all. And then plus the collagen is going to come from that connective tissue. It's not necessarily from the bones, but I get it all. So when I'm tearing that chicken apart, you know, you'll roast a whole chicken. Okay. You're going to take the carcass and everything else. And then, you know, even the skin, I just keep only the meat, but I'll take anything that's any connective tissue and put it in there too. And I also mix animals as well. So it could be from some of the lambs I process it. Processed, it can be beef, any number of things. I want that collagen in there because, yeah, it's going to help in so many different ways, your muscle mass and strength. But I wanted to talk about that story because it led me into what we do and one of the tricks I learned along the way. All right, so Check this one out. As disasters mount, more Americans rethink emergency preparedness, but many still remain unready. Okay. I'm going to say what Samuel Adams said to the people that were pussyfooting around during the Revolution. If that's where you are right now, may your chains set lightly upon you. May your chains set lightly upon you. Folks, I don't know how many times I can scream it from the mountains. Look, it didn't cost that much to go to Sam's or Costco or whatever, get 50-pound bags of rice. I mean, son, how many days, what was it, 72 days we figured you could feed yourself on $100?
It was like 71 point something or 72 point something. But yeah, it was $100. Now, the prices have gone up since then. So what does that mean? Oh, man, I can feed myself for 60 days with the same amount. It's still a good way to go. Even though the prices of rice has gone up and rice and beans have both gone up, there's still good places to go other than Sam's. Like there's that one place not far from you. Hayes Food Products. If you're in South Carolina, you can get like 100-pound bags of apparently pretty fresh beans.
High-end, grade one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like some pretty awesome beans for pretty cheap. It's a 100-pound bag though. So make sure you're able to move those back. They'll load you up. They got a batch of Mexicans in the back ready to load anybody up, but you were going to have to figure out how to unload yourself and everything. But that's an awesome place to get it.
These were grade A beans and we were getting them for like 33 cents a pound. I mean,
and they had options too.
Yeah. I mean, lots of options, 33 cents a pound. Y'all, that's what I'm talking about. So, I mean, it's going to be a little higher now, but look, you can go out to get yourself some buckets, some Mylar bags. But I'm like, man, in light of everything going on right now, look, y'all, we can produce light crude. Diesel's another thing altogether. And that's been stymied right there in the Gulf. And don't think that's some accident. Just like Max Egan said, we are all truckatarians. I don't care what you are. You are a truckatarian. Everything you're looking at me on, everything you're listening through, everything in the room around you came to you on a diesel truck. Every bit of it. So if diesel goes up through the roof, that means everything else is too. And then what does that mean? It's going to get crazy. So this whole notion about people thinking, well, you know, I got a month's worth of food. You better think again, nephew. I don't care if you got to go out and get a storage unit, man. I don't care how you do it. You really need to be. Oh, so what's the worst? We got it. We got car insurance. We got life insurance, accident insurance, hurricane insurance. There ain't no such thing as food insurance unless you provide it yourself. You see what I'm saying? So folks, yeah. You better get loose or get lost, because I'm telling you, it's about to get real in a big, big way. And maybe that, I think almost certainly that's why William, what he was talking about a moment ago, I think that's what accounts for a lot of these festivals not doing very well. And a lot of them have shut down altogether. Thor in the door in the house, son. Remember him down at, he really does look like Thor, y'all.
He does. He really does. If he was in a crowd and he said, hey, go get Thor for me, you wouldn't even have to ask which one Thor is. He's the dude that looks like Thor.
That's right, man. He looks like he'd pull your arms out of your sockets and, you know, whip you upside the head with him. But he's a cool, great guy. Thor at the door in the house, man. Yeah, and he's even got the hammer in there, bro. I mean, if he walked around with that hammer and, you know, put him in Thor outfit, man, nobody would even think it. They would think, oh, my goodness, what just happened here?
Yeah, that's Thor.
Yeah, glad to have you in the house, bro. We need to talk sometime. All right, yeah. So last good news story here. Bright daytime light exposure linked to earlier bedtimes and deeper sleep. Okay, folks, I covered this kind of before, but it goes right into the work of Dr. Jack Cruz once again. It is of critical importance. Folks, if you don't take anything else away from this podcast that I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to reiterate what Dr. Jack Cruz talks about all the time. If you don't get up and get your butt out of bed and see and be outside when the sun rises, you want to be out there for at least 15 minutes if you can help it. If you have more deeper health concerns, you want to be out there about an hour or more, maybe two. And you can look directly at it. You can look directly at the sun. If you can't, you're blue light toxic and you can grow into it. So you get up, you look at the light. But this study is saying, yeah, that here's what Jack Cruz talks about. Here's what I learned from him is that your melatonin, everybody thinks, oh, melatonin, we do that at night. But it's made in the morning. it's not used until night. Provided you're not doing foolish things. There's a reason why William and I are wearing these blue light blockers. Now, I have on the amber color. He has on the red. The red's more for night, although you can wear it right now. I'm wearing the amber because I still got daylight. You know, I got sunshine out here right now. So when you wear these, it kind of deadens the blue light that's coming off some of these devices or the, you know, the show lights and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, that's what I want you to take away. Yeah, your melatonin is made in the morning when you're out there getting the sunlight. It's just not used until later. And everybody seems to have that sort of thing backwards.
Hey, right. And on that, well, real quick, on that blue light toxic part, if you do go out there in the morning and you're like, dang, I can't look at the sun because you're blue light toxic, don't panic. It doesn't take too long to fix. Because when I was out there with you guys, I was blue light toxic. But that kind of went away. Like as soon as we got home and started doing it took less than a week for it to finally go away. Now, I don't know if there's any other side effects of being blue light toxic, but as far as not being able to stare directly at the sun in the morning, that goes away fairly quickly.
Yeah. So what he means by blue light toxic is that you spend too much time looking at blue lights, whether it's from your phone. And here's the insidious part, y'all. You can get software for your computers. We got it. I mean, yeah.
It's called Iris. If anybody's curious, it's called Iris.
Like, look at my glasses right now. They're red, right? Can you see it through your end, Sam? Well, maybe not. If anybody's watching me right now, I can triple click my computer, and right now it's on white, and then I'll triple click it, and now it's on red. So now all the blue light's been taken out of it. You got to order this special. They were going to outfit these things initially. I shouldn't go too much into this because I've already gone a little bit too long in the tooth on it. But the point of it being is they intentionally have you bathed in blue light. I remember as an electrician, when Obama and them said, hey, we need to get rid of incandescent light bulbs, I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Remember, folks, I'm almost a 30-year journeyman electrician. Here's why I knew it was stupid. If I were to do an audit on your house and you had nothing but incandescent bulbs in there, of everything I could audit in your house, the thing that probably uses the least amount of energy are your light bulbs. Even if they're incandescent, the big movers in your house, as far as electricity are concerned, are your stove, your dryer, your HVAC system. But we're worried about light bulbs. Now, I had no idea. I had no idea what the insidious purpose was for all of this. In a nutshell, check this out. Meyer Lansky and the mob, the Jewish mob, figured out long ago, back in the 40s, back in Vegas, that they didn't have to beat you over the head to get your money. All they had to do, and the mob figured this out, and then the CIA ran away with it. It's an incredible story. But anyway, the mob figured out that instead of beating you over the head and stealing your money, all they had to do was put you in a blue light area with no access to outside lights, okay? Give you a little bit of alcohol, scantily clad women, and they could shake you down for every dime you had. That's how the casinos began. Okay, so then the Italian mob said, hey, man, what on earth are you guys doing? They passed it over to the Italian mob. Well, what you don't know, during World War II, a lot of people don't know this, Lucky Luciano was working for the CIA. I kid you not. Man, I'm going to go crazy and go into a history lesson here, but I really got to talk about it. Okay.
Just do it.
So anyway, the CIA found out, because the mob and the CIA were a seamless organization for the longest time and probably still are to a certain extent. And it didn't matter whether it was the Italian mob or the Jewish mob. Well, the mob passed on to the CIA. And then you have people like Jose Delgado, who were working for the CIA, who were taking bulls. You can actually go on YouTube and still see the video of him being a matador, and through these wires that he had implanted into the brain of the bull, could stop the bull in its tracks when he's about to kill him. So all they did was figure out what he did. And check this out, y'all. They figured out instead of putting electrodes in a bull or a person, they could do it with blue light. That decision from the Obama administration lay exactly the problem that we have now. Not only is that blue light, which, by the way, folks, you only get blue light midday. Not everywhere in the world. You only get blue light midday. So when your phone is giving you a blue light signal 10 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, and you wonder why you can't sleep, folks, that's the reason why. That is 100% the reason why. And they know this, and they knew this. They've known this ever since the 40s. Yeah. And just like Nancy says, sounds like casinos. That's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they do. Go to any casino, whether it's one of those ones on the river in Kansas City or you go to an Indian casino. What do you see? There are no outside lights there. Why? You are bathed in blue light because it makes you highly suggestible. That's part of what they found out through MK Ultra. You know, my mom is a graduate of that program when she was incarcerated. Sorry to go down this blue light. I mean, this is not at all what I planned on talking about today, but it is of such profound value. But folks, you can go out there when you get a chance, when the podcast is over, go out there. How do I take my iPhone and remove all the blue light from it? And there's a way you have to set it up in your whatever to where you can triple check it.
Instead of typing that in, ask it how to get a red screen on an iPhone or on your phone. How to adjust the color to get a red screen, or how to get a red screen on my cellular phone, whatever brand you have. Don't be taking Google prompts from dad.
You got that right. Sure. Yeah, you got that right. But yeah, that's exactly what you do. Take that, get that out of there, and then find your blue light blockers, because, you know, through my house, I've gone through and I put incandescent bulbs in everything. And I mean, everything. Now, what that does is give you a full spectrum. When you have compact fluorescents or LEDs, like I said, the cost savings is negligible. But all it's putting out is blue light. You are blue light toxic. That's what I'm talking about. When I talk about blue light toxicity, it's because of your phone and because of the lights around you. And if you got to be in those environments, it's still not wonderful, but at least try to protect your dome. As Raul always says, you know, protect your dome out there, put some of these blue light blockers on there. Don't get the cheap ones. That's why we talk about Bond Charge, which, yeah, by the way,
also tinfoil hat.
There you go.
That works too.
That works too. All right. So speaking of Bond Charge, didn't say any of that because they're a sponsor, but they just happen to be. If you want some of these ball and glasses, look, they're not cheap. Bond Charge, B-O-N, not B-O-N-D. Bond Charge, 15% off with promo code PERMA. All right. I'm going to come full circle what I talked about a minute ago with Morley. We don't have anything from Eric today. He's on assignment and he's out there busting his butt, doing good for the world right now. All right. So why did I come up with the topic? Why healthy soil makes healthy people? Because I'm going right back to Morley. And this, I wish we would have covered a little bit more, but I'm going to try to fill in the gaps here and why I'm doing this program right now with William. Okay. What Morley said, for those that didn't hear it before, and I please encourage everybody, go back, listen to the interview that we did with him and call him up. If you have any kind of ailments or a family member does, he will get you squared away.
I'll put his phone number right back in there.
Yeah, put it back in the chat, son. Thanks. Okay. Ask Morley about glyphosate and what it does. Morley can give you chapter and verse of all the studies that have been done. Glyphosate, for those that didn't hear it before, was used as an industrial pipe cleaner to remove metals from pipes. That's all it was meant to do, was chelate metals. Okay, that's what it started as. And then, of course, it was a bunch of polecats that wound up in the second Bush administration that ended up saying, you know what? I think it's a good idea we put it on crops. That's exactly what they do. They use it as a desiccant now, even though they don't need it. They'll put it on wheat, and because they don't test for glyphosate, they can still call it organic, I bet. Thank you so much, Bren Z, for the super chat. Thank you very much. If you break bread, I won't fake dead. Anyway, that glyphosate, here's what it's doing. And Morley talked about it, and I wish I would have pinned down a little bit more of it. Like I said, I'll do a better job the next time we get him on. But folks, he dropped so many incredible things that you need to listen to. That glyphosate ties up all the minerals in that soil and in your body. That's what it does. That's why you're so heavy on iron for the most part. This is why all the other things that you need in your body and some of these elements Barbara O'Neill talked about on this show and got us kicked off for 2 weeks, because she just happened to bring up things on a periodic table. How about that? Anyway, that glyphosate destroys every single thing in the soil. So that's why I'm saying healthy soil helps healthy people. Just like it, I told you a minute ago, your government, who so many of you out there still trust, the same government that told you to go out there and get that jab, the same government that isn't telling you blue light all by itself is toxic. the same government that is telling you, hey, we're about to draft your sons and daughters to go get murdered. That same government is saying it's okay to put glyphosate on your soil, on your food. I mean, an industrial, I mean, son, I can't even believe I say the words half the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, so with the draft, keep in mind, it's not just to go get murdered, but it's to get tested on and experimented on, and then to go get murdered. They got the stacking functions.
There you go.
Believe it or not, that's what they're doing, stacking functions.
You better believe it. And then when you go in there and you go through that little gauntlet where they shoot you up with all those, you know, they got those guns and they're shooting you in your arm with all these different vaccines and everything else. What do you think they're putting in these soldiers now? Folks, unless you hate your child, I mean, this is coming from a former soldier. You should boycott military service. I can't even believe I'm saying it, but yeah.
Especially with the Hegseth and TRT now. Talking about putting soldiers on TRT now, or testosterone replacement therapy and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's funny because that phlebotomist told me today that the number one client that he has are these people on TRT, and he's got to go to the airport all the time and take a pint of blood out of them before they fly because not all, I mean, depending on where they are in their cycle, I don't know. That doesn't seem natural to me, man. No. Nah, man, I'm going to go out there and go get some long jack or something or some, I'll find something, some other way antler. To go about this. Yeah,
some antler velvet. I'll figure something out.
No, but part of what they're doing in this environment, and this is why what Morley is talking about, folks, is so incredibly important. Because once you get your copper right, your copper manages everything else. Once you get the copper right, once you get the iron where it ought to be, everything else kind of, your homeostasis of your body kind of comes into play. And he's got all the bodies to, I mean, don't just listen to the podcast I did with him. He's very ubiquitous. You can find him all over. You can find him with Brian Artis. You can find him with Logan.
Selling Prosperity.
He's probably been on Logan's show more than anybody. He's been on there 4 times. I mean,
what I like about Logan, though, is that Logan will ask a question where we can tell, like, okay, this is in the weeds, but Logan still says it in a way where we understand, like where it still makes sense to everybody who hasn't studied this or anything like that. So I really like Logan's podcast, the Sowing Prosperity one. I really like it.
Yeah, I do too. But folks, that's another guy you really ought to be checking out over there, because he is another autodidact that I'll put up against. I mean, it's funny, son, when you listen to his program and he's mopping the floor with these so-called MDs and PhDs. I mean, he's mopping the floor with them because they'd have no idea what he's even talking about. And, you know, to the credit of some of them, they actually admit it. But check it out. Healthy soil produces more nutrient-dense food, bottom line. Folks, this is why we talk so much about the importance of having biocomplete compost out there, of getting the entire full soil food web. The late Dr. Elaine Ingham basically explained that it doesn't matter whether it's sand, silt, or clay, or a combination of those. It doesn't matter. Everything you need is already in the soil. It just can't be accessed until you bring in the microbes. That's the bottom line. I mean, the way it works, like I said, healthy soil produces more nutrient-dense food. The reason why is when you go out there with these fake chemicals or whatever, Miracle-Gro, the plant's only taking up maybe 10% at most anyway. The rest of it's just salts being down in the soil, and you're making a problem even worse. Even if you have a bunch of bug problems that first year, hey, suck it up. Maybe you get something out of the deal. Maybe you don't. But it should get better and better and better every progressive year. But if you don't have that, if you don't have that life in the soil, you are not accessing the minerals you need in a form that your body can use. That's the bottom line. Like I said before, our number one export here in the United States of amnesia is soil going down the Mississippi River, because we do everything backwards. All right, son, go ahead.
Well, not only will they not have the nutrients that the plant needs, not only will not have the nutrients that you need, but it'll also have the bad guys that you don't want in your body or in your plants as well. Because similar to, like, I think Dr. Will was talking about it at the Mountain Readiness Festival, of like, if your body doesn't have access to certain minerals, it'll use what's next best in order to serve that function. What's next best or second best might be some sort of heavy metal or toxic heavy metal or something like that. Now, to my next point is kind of piggybacking off Dad, but it's related to it. I guess it's all related. It's all talking about soil health, but healthy soil is going to regulate pH. Well, that's important because if it's you want to ideally a pH around 7, it can be a little bit more acidic, a little bit more alkaline, but generally around 7 is what you want. If it's above 4.5, that's when the heavy metals are bioavailable to your plants. And that's when, if you eat the plant, you start accumulating these heavy metals or these toxins and things like that. So having healthy soil is very important. If nothing else, it keeps the toxins locked away and unavailable to the plants that you're trying to grow. Now, with the rain that Dr. Willis tested, or the precipitation that we have recently, there's a lot of heavy metals that you don't want your plants having access to. And there's a lot of things in the precipitation that you don't want your plants having access to. So another reason it kind of is related to what Dad was just saying with the, it's going to be nutrient dense, but it's also going to be largely toxin free other than what may be on the surface. And you can wash that off and stuff depending on how healthy your soil is. But on to you, Dad.
Well, these days, I don't even know if you can wash it off. I mean, based on what Morley was telling us, that France basically flat denied, you are not putting any glyphosate over here, ain't going to have no GMO, none of that stuff anywhere in France. In fact, you even try to put up GMO over there, I promise you, you're going to come home to a foundation. They don't play. I mean, they will absolutely, you will come home, your house, your fields, everything will be on fire. These French, I mean, people can say what they want about them being pacifists, but you know, I got nothing but mad respect for these guys, man. You're going to poison their environment, you're going to come home to a foundation. That's how they roll. All right, soil microbes. But the point being that I was trying to make there is even there, 98 or 99% of them that were tested, all tested for glyphosate. And they're not eating it. They're not eating it by and large. They all tested for glyphosate. So, son, to your point, it is hypothesized, I'll put it that way, that perhaps some of the loads of the chemtrails they're putting out there probably has it in it. So we're probably all getting some of it, some degree or another, but you can't get anybody to look up and nobody cares these days. So my next one is soil microbes actually feed the plant. All of it is done. All that heavy lifting that goes to the plant itself is done by the bacteria and the fungi. The protozoa, the nematodes, the arthropods, all of those guys, they work together with the fungi and the bacteria. But as we've talked about before, Elaine Ingham has basically used this example, and we used it a lot, that in order for that plant to grow, it sends a shopping list out to the bacteria and the fungi. It says, look, you boys and girls want to eat? Go out there and get me what I need. And they break down the sands, silts, and clays in things we call aggregates. They get on there, they break that down, they make it bioavailable for the plant. The plant brings that in, so now you don't need chemical inputs. You really don't. And folks, I'm telling you, you may think that you're getting ahead by doing all these crazy chemical inputs. All it's doing is taking you two steps backwards. Every time you give your dewormer to your livestock out there, you're killing your lion in the soil, which is basically your nematodes and worms. You're killing them every time you give them dewormer. So either get rid of that stock or use some basic H, use some lye, use whatever you got to get it out of them. But then also think of the, like I said, what Pat Colby said, you got low copper, you're going to have other problems as well. You get the copper on point, and it seems like everybody's starting to wake up to that. Over to you, son.
Now, on the warming, I understand, like, you know, there's extreme cases sometimes, or sometimes you get some bad stock and you got to worm them first and stuff like that. It's not necessarily the end of world to be worming your animals, but try to quarantine them in a sacrificial area that you can then intentionally treat with soil saviors afterwards or whatever it may be. Just keep in mind that, hey, if they get this manure everywhere on this property, it's going to kill the nematodes. So try to limit where that is going to happen and where that's going to occur. Did you have something on that, Doug?
No, go ahead.
Okay. My next point is studies have shown that gardening, being out in a garden, is going to decrease anxiety and depression, which, I mean, inherently, you know, seems pretty accurate. I can't remember the time last time I went into the garden and was mad leaving the garden, unless some sort of pests got in there, like the neighbor's rabbits or maybe the dog dug in there or something like that. That's the only time I'm really ever irritated leaving the garden. But you generally feel better after going out there and put your hands in the dirt and you know, harvesting some of your harvest or just managing the plants in general, putting them up on the trellis, things like that. You generally feel better. It's like similar to that, what was that Hippocrates quote that Dr. Ely kept saying? It was like, if you feel bad. Well, not that part, but if you feel like crap, go take a walk. If you still feel like crap, go take another walk. It's similar. Like you're going out walking to the garden and you're doing some sort of physical exertion outside in the garden and things like that. So, yeah, it decreases depression and anxiety.
Yeah, another thing here with, you know, while by concentrating on your soil health, you're also the number one place to store water is in the soil. Now, I know, like Raul said a little bit ago, you know, man, we could really use some water out in Arizona. Yeah, you could, but they are intentionally keeping it from you. It's not the La Nina or El Nino, whatever they want to call it. Sounds like something on the Taco Bell menu. But anyway, Regenerative Orchards, thank you for the bread. We sure appreciate it. We'll get to your question here in a second. Anyway, your soil, the best place to store water is always going to be in the soil. Remember, we've talked about it before. For every 1% of organic matter you put down in that soil, that's the equivalent of an Olympic-sized swimming pool per acre for every 1%. So not only does that benefit, I mean, good night. I mean, you're refilling aquifers. If you do all this stuff right, folks, you can be refilling your aquifers. You can be doing everything right in terms of your water storage. And then depending on where you are, you might want to put in swales and have it, you know, go even, you know, in a much deeper fashion. There's so many different ways you can go about this, but honestly, that is just another ancillary benefit to doing the right thing with the soil. Son, before let's go ahead and cover this. Can you read that?
Yeah, I can. This is from Regenerative Orchards. I was at an account yesterday that has peach trees. Some of them look like they have peach leaf curl. To my knowledge, I thought peach leaf curl was a springtime disease, not a middle of summer disease. Thoughts and remedies?
Okay, I've been seeing this kind of thing. I've been seeing a whole lot of weird stuff going on here. And I'm not kidding, in a big, big way. I'm seeing things happening to trees around here that shouldn't happen. I'm even seeing things that are happening in the pasture that is improving every year. And now all of a sudden we're seeing things that we know shouldn't be there. And I'm thinking it's a function of what they're dropping from the sky, man. I wish I had a better answer for you, but I'll tell you what I would do is if I were dealing with this, it's always better to do it early when the buds start forming, but at least once a month in the growing season these days, I would highly encourage everybody to go out there, take some raw milk, put it in a pump sprayer, mix it 50-50 with distilled water. Go out there, spray every part of your tree, every leaf, every bud, everything coming up. And what you're going to find out is that the beneficial fungi and the bacteria that's in that milk, and it's got to be raw milk. It can't be pasteurized or anything like that. It's got to have the life in it. Obviously, you want to take the cream off. It will absolutely positively outcompete any of the bad stuff that seems to be falling, but you got to get out and do it. And I would highly recommend you doing it once a month. It's honestly come to that. You can do the same thing with a, what am I looking for?
Compost extract.
Not an extract.
Or soil saviors.
A compost tea.
Oh.
Compost okay. tea. Compost tea has like, it would act like a sticky barrier on there. You can do a compost tea. Cool thing about a compost tea, it's very, very hard to make. A real compost, there's a difference between extract and tea, y'all. Tea has the glues in there that stick to whatever it's going to, so it's more of a foliar spray. When you put that tea out there, it's going to stick and take up all those sites that the bad guys want. The cool thing about it is you only got to put that on once a season, but you got to get it right. And it's hard to do. You're going to lose sleep making it. I guarantee it.
Yeah,
because once it's there, you're at that happy spot where all your bacteria, fungi, and everybody are reproducing. And when they reproduce, they make these little glues. And that's exactly what's going to hold them in place. So the milk is typically the option I like to go with, even though I haven't had time to mess with it. the milk is the option I like to go with, even though you're going to have to do it like once a month. It's just, I don't have time. I don't have that kind of time to babysit a, you know, compost bubbler to be able to do all that right now.
No, Amy B is saying raw milk is hard to find. Can you also do it with like spoiled organic milk potentially? Will that work?
No, if it's been pasteurized or homogenized, no, it's got to be.
Ooh, what about kefir or kefir?
Maybe. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, kefir. I don't know about that. I mean, it might work. I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that if you can go out there, I have access. I mean, around here, we definitely know people with cows. It really doesn't take that much, but you want to do it at the beginning of the growing season. And usually you're going to be good. Like every month you want to go out there. When you got as many trees as you have, you're going to be putting in some work, nephew. No doubt about that. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, son, it's back to you.
Yeah. So another, you know, benefit, the way a healthy garden creates healthy people is that it's you're going outside and you're getting sun. And if you're in your garden and you ain't getting any sun, where's your garden? Or you might be out there at night, but you're inherently going to get sun. And kind of, I think farmers, now we first made the remark that like it's this new sun protocol is kind of backwards towards in regards to what farmers usually do, where they do it early in the morning, do chores late at night, and they kind of do all their inside work in the middle of the day. There's an added there is a benefit to the doing it that way, and that you're getting early morning light. If you go out there in the garden early in the morning, you're getting early morning light. So you're setting the circadian rhythm, and you're also getting late evening light. Now you could just make the extra trip of maybe going and checking on your garden in the middle of the day. So that way you can get that full spectrum sun for however long you need to, according to the DMinder app and everything. But if you're out there in your garden, you're inherently going to get sun. Now, a lot of people go out in their garden, especially like older women, a lot of people go out there in their garden fully covered up. They have the big sun hat, they have long sleeve shirt on, or they have some big gauntlet gloves, or they're out there in full-blown pants and stuff like that. Try to do it as naked as possible if you can, without getting in, you know, any kind of trouble or anything like that. But try to do it as naked as possible. Believe it or not, the bugs kind of leave alone. Except for mosquitoes. Mosquitoes will completely violate any kind of barrier you had, but you ain't gonna get bugs everywhere, is all I'm trying to say. So there's no reason for alarm or anything like that. Just don't sit down on fire ant pile. You should be good.
Yeah, boy, ain't that the truth. All right, so I got a bunch more, but we've gone a little bit long, and I kind of monologued a little bit too long about some things. Hopefully those were a blessing to you, but you know, I'm just gonna end it on my end with this one, that, you know, a healthy soil is an investment for future generations. It really is. I mean, the only worthwhile thing you're really going to leave, if you have any land or holdings or anything else at all, is if you can leave that in an area and show them how you got there, especially if it was denuded or if it was messed up. If you can show them how you arrived there, man, that's only going to help. I mean, you could take this topsoil and it could be used for centuries, and it was forever and a day. You know, before we got over here, industrialized everything, there was 10 feet of topsoil when Lewis and Clark came across. It's all gone. It's all been, you know, taken away for the most part. Now we can build it back. It's going to take some time, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. These are worthwhile things that you can leave behind, this legacy of, hey, grandson, granddaughter, this is how I did it. This is how you need to carry on with this. And we're doing it in accordance to what we see in the world around us, in nature, not man-made nature, but what the way the good Lord put it out here. That's what we're replicating here. And you could have something that really and truly, you know, it can last forever and a day, as long as you don't do something stupid. And doing something stupid, and that's notwithstanding the fact that there are stupid things happening anyway from the sky. They are dumping. I go on about this because it is happening everywhere. They are dumping. They're poisoning the skies everywhere. And we have got to wake up the people to this. All the powers that shouldn't be, they don't even want to talk about it. Both my senators and congressmen told me I'm a nut job. They don't entertain basket cases. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, what if, you know, 1% of their constituents did the same thing? They might be singing a different tune. All right, son, let me kick it on over to you.
My last one is that you're more likely to eat vegetables you typically wouldn't, or food that you typically wouldn't eat. Like when it comes to animals, if you raise and harvest your own animal, you're going to eat all parts of that animal, parts that you typically wouldn't buy from the store, more nutritious parts like organs or liver or whatever it may be that you wouldn't typically buy at the store. When it comes to a garden, for example, if I grow beets, I'm eating beets. I am never going to go buy beets from the garden or from the grocery store. That's never going to be something canned or otherwise, unless it's like pickled beets for mom, because mom likes pickled things. But I am never going to go to the store and buy beets and eat beets. There's a bunch of vegetables that people are like that with that they don't really realize until they finally realize it. But you're going to eat stuff out of your garden that you would not buy from the grocery store. And you're going to eat more of a diverse, more colorful plants. That you typically wouldn't eat if you had to buy them from the grocery store. So, yeah, like there's a lot of lettuces. I wouldn't buy those lettuces individually, but I'll grow them and then put them in a salad, things like that. So, yeah, it'll increase your vegetable palate.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm glad you brought up beets. I mean, for years, I thought I hated beets. You couldn't give me beets to save my life. Why? Because I grew up with parents that were, you know, that raised us with prison food. Everything we ate normally came out of a box or a can. So we would eat these beets out of a can. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted in my life. I thought I hated beets. And then your mom, she made a salad one night. It had walnuts and beets and some other stuff in there. I didn't want to eat it. And I went ahead and tried it. And I'm like, hold on. These are not, what is this? These are not beets. Like, no, these are what beets are supposed to taste like. Because when I was raised, I mean, man, there was so much garbage we ate out of a can. No wonder. There were things I didn't like. Now I absolutely love, just because of what you said there. So, yeah, I mean, I just sowed two beds full of beets, not only because the greens are very, very nutritious, but the beets themselves are very, 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 very nutritious. And I take them and I freeze dry them also. In fact, I'm still working on some of what I had last year. I'll take those beets and put them in whatever I'm drinking. And it'll add nitric oxide to you. I mean, that's a pretty good way.
That's how you know this whole thing is a scam. Beets are the last vegetable you need to be packing in syrup. Beets are already freaking sweet. Just add water and it'll eventually get sweet. And they're over here packing it in syrup. That's why I didn't like beets at first either, is because the first time I had them was out of a can and in like corn syrup or something. I was like, this is not tasty.
No. Well, you didn't get them from your mom, I can tell you that. You must have ate them somewhere else.
I got them from the same source as you did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, those beets were absolutely. My mom, she would pull them out of a can and think she cooked something. I mean, it was just downright disgusting. But anyway, I got two full beds. I got yellow ones out there. I got a white variety. I got obviously the red variety. But the greens are every bit as valuable to me as every other part of that beet. So, believe me, I'll be making full use. Yeah, fermented beets.
If you guys don't like beets, ferment them. They are amazing. I was going to say that. Yeah, fermented beets are one of the best. They taste awesome. So,
yeah, Amy said, is DEET better than covering up? I wouldn't put DEET on me. I mean, that stuff is straight up poison. I would cover up before I went ahead and put on DEET or
vanilla.
Vanilla
keeps them away.
Well, another thing is eat a bunch of garlic. I mean, I eat at least 3 or 4 cloves a day and don't have any problem with any of those kinds of critters. Don't really have any.
You can grow a citronella plant and every time you go outside, just rub yourself down with it. June does that to all of us every time we go out in the front yard. We rub down with some citronella.
Oh, well, how about that? Yeah, my little cutie bear. All right, y'all. I hope this was a blessing to you. I didn't mean to go as sideways as I did, but hopefully that blue light lesson is kind of sticking to a lot of you out there, folks. I'm telling you, we are living in times. I'm not trying to leave it on a sour note, but I'm telling you, there is hope out there, but it ain't coming from your government. It ain't coming from the government. And things like YouTube, they will always limit the amount of people that they will allow see something like this. So if you're hearing this in the podcast realm, look, go give us a review. It helps, you know, put us out there to people that are looking for information like this. But we're talking about things here that they don't want heard. Every time we do a podcast here, I mean, I kid you not, they probably dropped us 200 people because I've done so many podcasts as of late. They probably dropped, I mean, unsubscribed maybe 200 people. I, you know, I don't care about subscriptions. I don't care about getting a bunch of people. I just want the right people. And I want them to evangelize this stuff, because the only way to get through this is, the only way we're going to see a positive outcome is if we stand up and start kicking some butt. And folks, I don't mean that physically. I mean that we have got to get active. You're either an activist or an inactivist. Either way, you're involved. All right, son, anything else to add?
Nancy wanted to say Bond Charge is having a good sale right now. So
that's what I'm talking about.
Blue light blockers and yeah, get them at a discount right now.
That's what I'm talking about, y'all. Well, I want to thank everybody for checking us out today. Thank you for all your support and your love. We pray for you guys. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
From the smallest sprout to the harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the fire and thrive.